Like to bring this meeting of House Fisheries to order. It is Monday, March 5th, and it is 8:42 in the morning. And present are Representative Johnson, Representative Edgman, Representative Wilson, myself, Seaton. And today we are hearing further public testimony on HB 134, Protection of Salmon Spawning Water, Bristol Bay. And before we proceed, I wanted to let everyone know that there is a CS, but that committee substitute doesn't become official until it's voted out of a committee. So you will be able to later today get that CS on Representative Edgman's website, or the LIOs have it in their packet. And if you're unable to get it elsewhere, you can call my office and we will get anyone that wants to look at that CS that it has been adopted as a work draft for the committee, in the committee at that time. Representative Edgman.
Just a quick comment to add what you were saying. CS that we'll have on our webpage later on is a CS that we've been, basically it's been in front of us since the first hearing last Wednesday.
That's correct. It's just that I want everybody out that's listening to understand when they go to basis, that's not what you'll see, because it doesn't become an official document until a committee votes on it and votes it when they take it out of committee. And we've been joined by Representative Johansson. Morning. Let's see, is there anything further to come before the committee before we go forward? Just so everybody understands, we're taking further public testimony today. We will then have a short talk among the committee on what issues they want addressed in the bill, and then Representative Edgman is going to be working on those issues to resolve those questions before the bill comes back before the committee again. So with seeing nothing else to come before the committee, let's go to Carl Rawson. Are you online?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Good morning. Would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you represent for the record, and then go ahead with your testimony.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Carl Rawson. I represent myself and my family. I'm a resident of the Bristol Bay area. I own a commercial fishing permit, and in the summertime I fish here. I use that to supplement my income. I can only find part-time work during the wintertime here, so I use my fishing income to try and make ends meet. I'm against House Bill 134 due to the fact that it holds one industry accountable and not another. For safeguarding our environment here. In the wintertime, after the fishing industries pull out and head back south, our beaches are littered with garbage from the fishing season. And the boroughs and the people that are left here are the ones who have to clean up this mess every year. I don't believe that the fishing industries are helping our region, and I believe that we need to diversify our economy to help the people that live here year-round. We're not able to eke out a living with the money paid by the canneries, and we need companies like Northern Dynasty and other companies such as Shell Oil and others to come in and help our region out. Without them, we're going to dwindle away to nothing, and this will just be a summertime recreation area for some, and for others it'll just be a big loss. We all have homes here. They cost us money. We pay over $4 a gallon for gas, and we just can't survive on the money that we make now. There's already villages and others that have made small amounts supporting Northern Dynasty's exploration efforts. In those villages, it's very important for those people to get this income so they can make ends meet and keep their families going. As I say, I do not support House Bill 134 as it is written. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl. Does anyone have a question for Carl? Thanks again for your testimony, and I wanted to, again, let everybody know that if you have written testimony or if you have your testimony written out, if you're at the LIO, they can fax it in to us, or if you, if not, from your house, or you can mail it to us. We do, the committee has a packet of materials that we've received in the interim between our last meeting and now on that were requested there. We have the survey, we have other written testimony, so I wanted to bring everybody's attention to that. Thank you. Let's go to Kodiak Alexis Kawaka, and I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing the name right.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to go on. My name's Alexis Kawaka, for the record. More than 50% of my income comes from Bristol Bay. I'm an Alaskan resident. It supports myself and my family. I would like to do anything in the Bay to protect the resource. I'm very concerned with the downstream effects of mining in the region. I'm kind of in a quandary. I fully understand the residents of the area. I live in Kodiak myself, so I'm not a direct resident there, but I am very concerned with the downstream effects of this operation up there. I'm not opposed to mining if it can be done environmentally friendly, and I would like to see a happy medium in here, but this, the one thing that is foremost on my mind is that this is a renewable resource, and it's been going on for more than 100 years here very successfully, and I'm concerned with disrupting what is already proven to work here. And we don't really know what the downstream effects are if we start tampering with the water sources of the Bristol Bay region. I mean, we have got king crab in the northern Bristol Bay area. We've got, you know, all the salmon species. So I'm going to go on record supporting this bill right now. Tread carefully, please, because a lot of us really do rely on the state fishery, okay?
Thank you, Alexis. Can I ask you a question here? Are you mainly concerned then about downstream pollution that would come from the mine, or are you concerned about the aspects of the bill that prevent any water from being used for commercial or industrial purposes within the watershed?
Well, I think I'm really concerned about the downstream effects, and I mean, if you change the hydrology, we don't really know what's going to happen to the salmon in the area. The pollution, I think, is already proven around the world to have huge effects on spawning fish, and I think that there's enough trial and error out there in the past. You know, when a mining company's wiped out a salmon run, they've been able to come in and restock it. Well, I can point to Carlick here on the island. When we wiped it out, we've never been able to get the feed right back in the lake. So I'm concerned of basically tampering with the hydrology in any way, shape, or form. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alexis. Anyone else have questions there? Representative Wilson has a question.
Thank you, Alexis. My question is, is that your only source of income when you go fishing over there, or do you have more than one fishing region that you fish in?
Well, I fish locally out of Kodiak as well, but more and more, you know, my income is reliant upon the Bay, and we're seeing a resurgence in the price of fish there, which is really been devastating to the local economies. So between 50 and 70% of my income comes from the Bay, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, let's go to Jason Matrokin, and I'm sorry if I have the name wrong again, in Anchorage. Are you there? Would you identify yourself for the record and who you're affiliated with and proceed with your testimony?
That's Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can. Go ahead.
You had the pronunciation correct as well. Mr. Chairman and committee members, my name is Jason Matrokin. I'm a shareholder and board member of Bristol Bay Native Corporation. I'm speaking out today on behalf of Bristol Bay Native Corporation's board of directors. BBNC disagrees with the blanket legislation outlined in House Bill 134 because it impedes economic and community development. First, let me clarify that we do not question the need to protect our valuable fish. Wild salmon is the past, present, and future of our Bristol Bay resources. We support the preservation and protection of our region's cultural and commercial mainstay. But BBNC believes that this carefully considered development can take place in our region without threatening our fish. In fact, many communities in Bristol Bay are relying on development projects to enhance existing infrastructure, create diverse business opportunities, help lower energy costs, improve transportation, and allow for safe and healthy communities. The nature of House Bill 134 could make these necessary community projects cost prohibitive, if not legally impossible. We strongly feel that planned and future development in our region should not be at the mercy of legislation designed to single out one controversial project. BBNC requests the authors or sponsors of House Bill 134 to consider the far-reaching impact of their work and the multitudes of people and communities it has the potential to affect. We suggest that the authors go back to the drawing board and be surgical with their intentions. I appreciate the time and the opportunity to speak on behalf of Bristol Bay Native Corporation, and I have a copy of my written notes here for the Anchorage LIO office.
Thank you, Jason, and I hope you'll be in contact with Representative Edgman after this hearing and time ahead so that you can work with him on those issues. Does anyone have a question for your Jason? Okay, thank you. Rick Mill in Ninilchik, or I guess you're in Homer. Rick, are you there?
Yes, Roger. Richard Mill from Ninilchik, Alaska. I bought into Bristol Bay this last year. I plan on fishing there long term. 75% of my income comes from the bay. 40% of my catch last year came from the Quijack, Iliamna Lake area, so I have great concern about the long-term health of that particular system. I am concerned about the downriver pollution coming from the leach mining, which has been proven long-term nationwide that they have a hard time containing the chemicals for one reason or another. Seems like there's always something escaping, which can be extremely devastating for the rivers, the streams, the lakes, heavy metals in the ocean, crab, halibut, black cod, salmon, everything has a potential of being affected by this. I am also concerned at what Exxon has proven to us, that the judiciary safeguards are not extremely valid. We've been due a closure to the Exxon Valdez spill. It's nearly 20 years later, and that still hasn't come to a close. So with these considerations, I support House Bill 251 and urge your committee to pass it.
Thank you, Rick. I guess it's Richard then. Is anyone have questions for Richard? Thank you for your testimony, and let's stay there in Homer. Jason Benner.
Jason Benner.
Benner. Sorry about that. Would you go ahead with your testimony?
Yes, sir. I've fished in Bristol Bay the last, I think, 9 years, and my family also owns a guide camp on the Nooshiegak River. We've owned that for, I think, the last 14 or 15 years. And, you know, the Bristol Bay waters are very important to us, not only for the commercial fishing, but for the sport fishing and for all the all the stuff that it provides for those. I get about 80 to 90% of my income from Bristol Bay, depending on the year. And I just recently bought in to the fishery, you know, in hopes that I can make a living for myself and not work for somebody else. The Bristol Bay waters are very important to me, and I've been around. My family is from Montana and the Bitterroot Valley, and I've watched what they did, what the mining did to the Blackfoot River, and I'm pretty sure it's the same company, the Northern Dynasty, and especially where they're from, the legislation can't even go after them since they're not even from our country, and they left the Blackfoot in a mess, and it cost Montana millions of dollars to try to clean it up, and the fish and stuff never have came back. And so I'm really worried about the chemical mining. I'm actually in support of mining in itself. It's just the large-scale chemical mining doesn't seem like we can control it, and it doesn't take very much to have the wild stock severely injured, and then we don't know if we can ever get it back, if we can get the conditions right. And so I'm in support of House Bill 134.
Thank you very much. Anyone? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I'm sorry, what was the gentleman's name?
Jason Benner.
Hi, Jason. This is Craig Johnson. You said you had a guide camp. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, sir. Up on the Nooshiak River, we guide for king salmon and all the other species of salmon and trout and local species there.
Okay, what is the difference between a camp and a lodge? Is there any significant difference? And maybe it's just terminology. Do you actually have a physical structure, or how does your operation work?
We do have the physical structures, and so we kind of call it a camp because we don't always do fully guided. We allow people to rent our camp and our boats, and so they can come and fish as much as they want, and it's not dependent on how much we want to fish. So yes, we have the physical structures and all the boats and stuff, and support the community of Equawk with all of our needs that we have during the season.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious about the definition between a camp and a lodge. I didn't know if there was any distinction there. Thank you,
Jason. While we're talking about camps or lodges, do you have perfected water rights on? For use of water out of the river there for your facility?
We actually have a well, so we're not drawing off the water there. Out of the river itself.
Okay, and we'll check with DNR whether that needs perfected water rights or not. So thank you very much. Jason, did anyone else have questions? Seeing none, let's go to Dillingham, Ben Nygren.
Yes, good morning. My name is Ben Nygren. I'm here representing myself. I support the aim of House Bill 134, which is the protection of the waters which nourish Bristol Bay's prodigious and lucrative salmon runs. These local salmon populations are a renewable economic and cultural treasure. Industrial scale removal of water from the streams in which this treasured resource rears would be just like sucking part of the air out of someone's home. I myself was reared in Portland, Oregon, a short distance from the mighty Columbia River. This river was formerly home to one of the world's greatest salmon populations. Careless development has slashed this stock to a shadow of its former self. Billions of dollars have now been spent to restore the Columbia watershed salmon to their pre-development levels, with the outcome still far from certain. With wild salmon taking hits all over the world, what a great feeling it is that here in Bristol Bay our stocks are still healthy. If the waters of our salmon streams are diverted for the purposes of extracting, transporting, or storing sulfide-bearing mineral ore, in my opinion, there's an unacceptable risk that these once clean waters will come back to haunt us in the form of sulfuric acid, dissolved heavy metals, and other toxins. When it comes to the question of pitting one industry against the other, I don't really see the aims of this bill as negatively pointing at one industry. The way I see it, any industry which pollutes and isn't required to pay for that pollution is really not paying the full cost of doing business. And simply by requiring them to keep the environment in you know, an acceptable level of pristine condition is requiring them, it's just bringing them, making them pay the full cost of doing business. Briefly, I come from a mining background. My father and two generations before him worked part or most of their lives in the mining industry, and it definitely has a place in the world, but I just don't believe that the headwaters of our salmon-bearing streams is the right place. In Butte, Montana, a short drive from where my family's from, lies the Berkeley Pit, large open-pit mine, now closed. It's a mile in diameter, 1,800 feet deep, rapidly filling with waters so polluted that they're actually mining the heavy metals out of the waters in this pit. So I think if we allow our waters to be diverted for industrial use, that's one way we might see them end up in the future. One other illustration I have here is on June 5th, 1976, there was a large earthen dam on the Teton River which burst. And if my information is correct, there was a 300-foot wall of water which issued forth. And I just think if our waters are diverted for behind large earthen dams, we might see a similar outcome. So I support House Bill 134. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. I guess I had one question. There's basically three parts to the bill. One is pollution, one is extraction of water from anywhere within the watershed, and the third is the filling of any lands, making dry land or changing a water course. Your testimony covered, I think, two of those aspects. One was the pollution. The second was a lake. The third one about bogs or wetlands having fill on it or changing the environment in that way. Did you have a comment on that?
You know, if we're talking about sulfide mining fill sitting upstream from me, I'm opposed to that.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Any other questions? Representative Edgman.
Mr. Chairman, just to sort of clear the air a little bit, I guess maybe to follow some of my earlier comments, we are looking at the bill very closely. There's been a lot of very good comments. I think, as we here at the committee know, that this bill does bring forth a bunch of unintended consequences. So some of those phrases that are in the committee substitute that, again, will be on our website, Representative Edgman's website, we are hopeful that we can come back with a revision or revised version of this bill that really speaks to a lot of those. I just want to be very clear to the committee on that, that the existing version that we have in front of us certainly is what we have, but the version that I hope to bring back will look very differently from that.
Thank you, Representative. And my purpose in asking these questions is to just try and get a little more detail from the people that are commenting as to what are those aspects they're addressing. So appreciate that. Let's go to Mark Angusson. Mark, are you online?
Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Would you go ahead and identify yourself, who you're representing for the record, and proceed with your testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mark E. Angusson. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my family. I'm an Alaskan native. I live here in King Salmon. I am married. I have a son that is married, and I have three grandchildren that live here in King Salmon. I've been a commercial fisherman all of my life. We also harvest food from the land, our lakes, and our rivers to help supplement our homes with food. I want to express my opposition to the creation of the Hammond Refuge and the Alaska Wild Salmon Protection Act, Senate Bill 67 and 134. I'm speaking to both bills because I see them both as a means to stop economic development in Bristol Bay. We already are surrounded by enough refuges, reserves, state, and national parks. Those of us that live here see the need to keep our options open to future economic development, whether it's the Pebble Project, oil and gas development, or any other economic opportunities that Senate Bill 67 or House Bill 134 might preclude. We could no longer afford to be the playground for the rich who come here to play, or for the special interest groups that want to involve themselves in our lives. We can no longer allow them to dictate to us what's in our best interest. We shouldn't be forced to consider limited economic opportunities because of the fear-mongering, the peer pressure, and the misleading information taking place about developing our natural resources. We can't continue to say that there are cures in the near future for our salmon fisheries either, or make statements that our fishery is coming back. It's on the rebound. What does that mean? When is that going to happen? How many more years do we have to keep telling ourselves that? The fish price that we have today is what we had 30 years ago. At one time, we had over 800 permits in our villages, drift permits. Today, we have less than 400. Just to verify these numbers, you can check with the Limited Entry Commission. Many of our people no longer fish because they sold out. We need economic diversity. As for the Pebble Mine Project, there's no permit application to judge. To the best of my knowledge, they haven't even completed the environmental reviews or the impact studies that are to be submitted to state and federal regulators. Until all the reviews are completed, there's nothing to judge. There is no group more concerned about the protection of our fish and wildlife resources than those of us that live here. But we also know that Alaska has a system in place for ensuring environmental protection. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. Too often, policymakers can be convinced to rush to make a decision for the sake of satisfying political promises made to special interest groups or to the wealthy that made campaign contributions. I want to assure you that many of us that live in this region recognize the long-term impacts of pushing ahead with this Fish Refuge or the Wild Salmon Protection Act bill. At the expense of future economic opportunities and the ability to provide for ourselves. For those that want to stop development within our region, I ask, what solutions do they have to provide for economic growth, diversity, and security for us? The answer is nothing. Are these same people going to put food on our table? Are they going to put heating oil in our tanks? Are they going to pay for our light bills? Are they going to put gas in our trucks? Are they going to provide for our financial wants and needs? No, they won't. But we need to do that for ourselves. But they want to dictate what we should consider for economic development and under what conditions we live in. With all due respect, Governor Hammond has passed on. Please don't bury us with him by adopting these two legislative proposals. If the legislature wants to honor his name, name the state permanent fund after him, or the Wood Tick-Tick State Park that he created. It's the largest state park in the nation at 1.6 million acres. It was created in 1978 for the purpose of protecting the area's fish and wildlife and preserving continued subsistence and recreational activities. But don't rob my grandchildren and our region and people of new economic opportunities because some legislator wants to honor his name or by saying this is what he would have wanted. How shameful. People are trying to romanticize and twist his words. He supported economic development. In the early 60s, as our state representative, he was successful in getting a resolution passed in the state legislature to develop a road from the Bristol Bay Borough through the Katmai National Park to a ferry terminal in the Shelikof to promote economic development. And you can find that in the Katmai history, administrative history, 1950 to 1969, chapter 4. We still need a road, railroad, or a dirt path to Anchorage, or the interior rail belt, or to a ferry terminal to promote economic opportunities and to reduce the cost of living to the region. Forgive me, but this is what our state legislature should be working on, not trying to find ways to stop economic growth and development from occurring within Bristol Bay. We still need ground transportation. We need economic growth and security. We need cheaper energy. We need to reduce the cost of living to our villages. Where is the legislation to address these issues? Mr. Chairman, we live in a cash economy. We need more than just the ability to pick berries and put fish in the freezer as we all do. We need more than just a subsistence lifestyle. Please don't allow this legislation to be adopted. We need major economic change and solutions for the long term. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have at this time. Should you have any questions, please ask.
Thank you, Mark. Does anyone have any questions? Thank you. One thing that I just want to point out to the people that testify, would you please make sure that you're testifying to the bill and not drawing characterizations to supporters of the bill or anything? What we've got before us is a bill to look at an issue, and we want to talk about that issue, not ascribe motives to anyone on either side of the issue. Everybody has their point of view, and we want to make sure that that is, that we're not talking about points of view, we're talking about the issue that's before us. But thank you for your testimony, Mark. And now we'll go to William Cook in Dillingham. Are you there, William?
Yes, I am.
We can hear you fine. William, would you go ahead and identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is William Cook. I'm a concerned citizen, an Alaska native, commercial fisherman, and a carpenter. I have very real concerns about the future of the Bristol Bay region, and its people and its fisheries. The ecological impact of large-scale sulfide mining for copper and the ecological impact of cyanide heap leaching for gold. To me, these represent very serious threats to our environment that will affect this area, its fisheries, both sports and commercial fishing. It will also create health risks to the people of the Bristol Bay region for thousands of years. A mine on the scale of this one can generate almost unimaginable amounts of particulate contamination in dust, trillions of gallons of contaminated wastewater, and trillions of tons of acid-generating tailings. Just the fact that someone wants to use cyanide, a deadly poison, on an industrial level upstream from where my family lives makes it unacceptable. This mine is an ecological disaster waiting to happen. How can anyone or any company tell the people of the Bristol Bay region and the state of Alaska that they can provide adequate habitat protection from contamination of this magnitude and expect us to believe it? How can contaminated materials of this magnitude not affect the aquifer, the watershed, and the groundwater? I don't think it's possible. Once the hydrology of this region gets changed, altered, or polluted, the mining companies won't be able to take it back. It'll be too late. It's true that the mine will create jobs and infrastructure, but at what cost? Long after the mining company is gone, the people of the Bristol Bay region will be living the legacy of the damage the mine can do to our environment. Just so a company owned by some person or persons in another country can get rich? After reading Mr. Trasky's testimony on the mining permit process, I feel strongly that these need to be addressed and rectified as well. These are very real and serious problems. I pray that those of you who are in a place where you have an opportunity to protect the people of the state of Alaska and the Bristol Bay region will have the wisdom and courage to protect us from the greed of outside interests, the wisdom and courage to protect us from our own greed, and the foresight to protect our water by supporting Bill Number 134. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, William. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Cook? Thanks again, William. Let's go to Gail Phillips. Are you online, Gail?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I am.
Hi, Gail. We can hear you fine. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself, who you're representing, and give us your testimony? And by the way, just for your information, we do have your written testimony before us.
Okay, that's great. Mr. Chairman and members of the Fisheries Committee, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify on this legislation. My name is Gail Phillips of Anchorage. I am a former legislator and Speaker of the House. I am testifying on my own behalf and as the Vice Chairman of a private nonprofit organization called Truth About Pebble. My testimony will strongly oppose the passage of any version of this bill. In fact, I think this bill should be renamed from an act relating to conservation and protection of wild salmon production to a more honest assessment, which should be the illegal takings of any and all future economic and resource development for the entire Bristol Bay region. You have previously heard credible testimony opposing this unprecedented and transparent withdrawal of over 22 million acres of mineral productive lands in southwest Alaska, lands that were specifically identified for mineral development when the state made its land selection. I'm not going to repeat the facts that have previously been presented to you in opposition to this bill. I am, however, going to focus my testimony on three major issues. One, a blatantly onerous attempt to circumvent Alaska's legally established permitting process. Two, the takings issue that will result in major lawsuits against the state of Alaska if these lands are withdrawn and restricted. And three, the constitutional mandates regarding the development of our natural resources for the benefit of all Alaskans. Number one, circumvention of the state's permitting process. Alaska is one of the richest resource states in the Union, with many types and vast amounts of natural resources available for development. We have been diligent in our efforts to create comprehensive permitting policies that now ensure the safe and profitable development of our resources. As you are all well aware, laws pertaining to Alaska's permitting process are continually updated and refined as new technologies become available. When I was Speaker of the House, revising and updating our well-established permitting policies was a high priority. We did not do this in a vacuum. All of these policy refinements were accomplished in an open public process. The best scientific advice was applied while conforming to state and federal guidelines and the adamant direction of the people of Alaska to do things right. As a result of Alaska's ongoing permitting process, and thanks to many of you for your efforts in this regard, we now have major resource development projects throughout the state that are the most environmentally safe in the nation. This blatant attempt to circumvent our permitting process, especially on lands that have been previously identified for mineral and resource development, is egregious and completely contrary to our state's fairness doctrine. Two, the takings issue. This bill would specifically stop all mineral development. Yet at this time we all know there's a mineral prospect in the area that has the potential to exceed $200 billion of mined product. Geologic exploration and results show that this would be one of the largest mines in the world. If this bill should pass and millions of acres withdrawn from future mineral development, takings lawsuits will be inevitable. We don't have enough money in our state, including all the assets of our permanent fund, to cover the potential amount of payments that would follow. This one issue alone could easily bankrupt the state of Alaska. Number three, the constitutional mandate to develop our resources. Each of you, as I did when I served in the legislature, took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of our state. Article 8, Natural Resources, of our Constitution is very clear about the policy of the state to encourage the development of its resources for maximum public use. That's Section 2. And that no exclusive right or special privilege of fishery shall be created or authorized in the natural waters of the state. That's Section 15. And that all laws and regulations governing the use and disposal of our natural resources shall apply equally to all persons, Section 17. I think that an attempt to approve any version of this onerous legislation will put each of you in direct conflict with your promise to uphold the Constitution. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to share my opinion on this legislation, and I would be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you, Gail. It's good to hear your voice again. Does anyone have any questions for Gail? Representative Edgman.
Yes, Same as well here, Gail. Good to hear you on the teleconference. On the takings issue, you know, I've seen sort of competing legal opinions on what this really means. And as best I can tell, it really comes down to perhaps a legal interpretation. And certainly, as the organization that you're involved with, Truth About Pebble, comports, we don't have yet the facts on the table because the permitting process hasn't been able to occur. And I think even the mine developer, and I guess we should keep in mind that this is one prospect out in the Bristol Bay area. There are others probably soon to follow in coming years, but that the mine developer doesn't have their sort of plan in place. So I guess I'm curious as to how, and perhaps is there a third legal opinion out there that underlies your pretty strong testimony you just provided on the takings aspect?
Well, thank you, Representative Edgeman. And certainly, legal opinions will float all over the place, and you certainly will be challenged with that as you go into your legislative career. The takings issue, if these lands are withdrawn, these 22 million additional acres of land are withdrawn from development, it will affect everything in the district. It could affect the existing mines that are already there. It could affect all the existing fisheries, related businesses that are already there. It could affect the communities that need water rights that are already operating there. It could affect everything. So takings is not just something that would apply to the Pebble Mine. It will affect everything. And takings is a major, major issue and a major drawback, I think, of this piece of legislation. And I just want to state again, if the operators of Pebble Mine, and they have made very well known their plan to proceed with their mine development plan and to proceed with going through the permitting process. If they are disallowed from doing that, they will have standing for a takings lawsuit. And that will be a huge detriment to the state of Alaska. And whether or not the legal opinions agree or not, whether they should be allowed the takings, we as a state of Alaska will spend millions of dollars just deciding that question on the lawsuit. So it's going to be a very costly venture for the state of Alaska if this legislation is passed.
Thank you, Gail. Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. And now let's go to Joel Tutt. Joel, are you online there in Homer?
Yes. My name is Joel Tutt. I'm a third-generation commercial fisherman, and I've just recently bought into the Bristol Bay fishery on my own, and I plan on making it my livelihood. At this time, it is roughly 80 to 90% of my income, and I strongly believe that the watershed supporting this fishery should be protected at any cost. Thank you for this opportunity for testimony.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Joel? Let's stay in Homer. Dave Boone, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Dave Boone. I've been an Alaska resident for 30 years and a gillnet fisher in Bristol Bay for 24 years of that time. I support House Bill 134. I have a degree in fisheries management and fully understand the delicate balance between fish habitat and fish survival. Protecting the Bristol Bay watersheds would help ensure that delicate balance in nature won't be disturbed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Does anyone have a question for Dave? Appreciate that. Let's go to Dan Salmon. Are you there on the off net? Okay, let's go to Clara Anguson.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes. Dan, are you there? Is that you?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman Seaton. My name is Dan Salmon. I'm a resident of Egeogic, which is located at the west end of Lake Iliamna on the outlet of the Quijack River. I'm a Lake and Peninsula Borough Assembly member, a local school advisory member, and an alternate on the Iliamna Lake Fish and Game Advisory Committee. Today, I'd like to speak on behalf of Egeogic Village Council. Igiaga Village Council is strongly opposed to any bill creating another layer of land or resource use restriction on us. The Iliamna Lake Advisory Committee unanimously rejected the recently proposed fish and game reserve concept as well. We are currently flanked by Katmai and Lake Clark National Park and Preserve and are prohibited from uses in those areas already. Our local native corporation has over 60,000 acres potentially impacted by this bill's provisions. Having met former Governor Hammond on numerous occasions and discussing his views on state government and policy more than once, I'm confident he would have liked to see a direct benefit to the indigenous communities and locally affected people, as a measure included to mitigate negative consequences endured by those having the greatest potential economic hardship offered by this bill. I recommend a PLO, or Payment in Lieu of Opportunity. Having managed a rural community for sustainability in Lake and Peninsula Borough for over 20 years and having been recognized for fiscal policy, sustainability, and achievements, I suggest an amendment to this proposed piece of legislation include a yearly allocation and distribution of $500,000 per affected community, plus a formula driven per capita and COLA. This bottom line threshold could be funded by CDQ communities who benefit through legislation by the fisheries we are excluded from, yearly legislative appropriations, as well as the salmon industry, both commercial and sport, we foster as stewards of spawning and rearing habitat. Other individuals and groups who seek to create parks, refuges, critical habitat, et cetera, around us should contribute to this funding mechanism as well. I'm sure it all could agree that this is a drop in the bucket compared to the potential fiscal opportunities we are giving up as a result of this legislation. For the record, we are enduring $5.50 per gallon gas and oil, 60 to 70 cents per kilowatt electricity, limited infrastructure, and exorbitant unemployment. Our population is down approximately 35% over the last 5 years, and our school is threatened by closure. We have only one Bristol Bay drip permit left in our village and no Setna permits at all. We do have residents and tribal members currently employed by NDM and other mineral exploration companies who are dependent on this income to feed their families and pay their bills. Igiaga is officially neutral on the proposed Pebble project and reserves support or not at such time as development permits are applied for, and we have the opportunity to evaluate and make intelligent decisions through an orderly established process. I ask Mr. Edgman and other legislators to spend quality and dedicated time on developing and implementing meaningful and sustainable economic opportunity for the communities and people in the Iliamna Lake and Upper Nooshigak areas that are excluded from other legislatively created programs. Please include our PILO concept in your proposed legislation discussion. It is incumbent on leaders who propose new laws to thoroughly perform due diligence on cost versus benefit. As I believe I'm the longest tenured tribal administrator in Bristol Bay, I ask the following. How many Bristol Bay permits have left the Upper Nooshigak and Iliamna Lake area in the last 15 years? And how many people participate in the commercial fishing today? How many native allotments have been sold to make ends meet? Where are people with limited or no credit going to get the vast sums of money to get back into fishing? What is the unemployment rate of this subregion? And make sure you count the people who haven't had a job in so long that they aren't currently statistically counted in the UI formula. How much money in food stamps, welfare, energy assistance, unemployment, and other federal and state social programs are distributed in this area? How do these communities with limited funds compete with required matching funds for infrastructure versus our neighbors 30 miles distance in CDQ communities? This entity, sanctioned by the federal and state government, has in excess of $70 million in cash and assets and has a huge advantage over us on NALI and other grants, individual and community expansion, education and revenue, et cetera. BBDC TUSH stands for Bristol Bay's Economically Disadvantaged Communities. What are the crime rate statistics for this region? How come unorganized communities in this region of Lake and Peninsula Borough are not eligible for state revenue sharing but provide state regulated services? How are we going to be sustainable and provide local services with no revenue options? This legislation has the potential to preclude borough formation in other parts of the unorganized areas of the state. It puts limits on the tools of local government. The former Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman, while recently in office, told a well-attended group of Bristol Bay leaders to listen carefully to this new industry and to train our people and prepare strategies to benefit from it. Our village did just that, referencing the Bristol Bay Area Plan and investing over $750,000 in debt by loans to provide housing and other services for mineral exploration, which we are deriving benefit from today. Northern Dynasty Mines and similar companies have provided jobs and training combined with transportation to and from our village for people who want to work. I don't know what else they could do to date. I do know that one of our village council elected officials, a former Bristol Bay drift permit holder, commented he is very excited about working and feeding his family of six while at the same time being in a work environment surrounded by family, friends, and relatives. He said that the current mailbox work mentality of our region must end if communities are to become healthy and self-sufficient. I feel these are words of wisdom and deserve respect. Mr. Coghill from the legislature recently told me about impending school closures, that he didn't think it was the responsibility of the state body legislature to create laws and programs to keep villages alive. Well, we don't think it's fair to create laws that will inhibit or close them either. This proposal 134 is ill-founded and conceived, and IBC rejects it in its entirety. Out of mutual respect, we ask Mr. Edgman and others who propose such types of further natural resource restrictions in our region to visit our community and familiarize yourselves with us and our economic problems before including us. Please don't continue to send our community into the trenches for survival, holding a gun, but no opportunity to have any bullets. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Dan. Does anyone have any questions? Seeing none, thank you again. And let's go to Clara Anguson. Clara, are you on line?
Hello.
Hello.
I'd like to say good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Clara Anguson. I'm representing myself and my grandchildren. I have four children, 14 grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. I am opposed to House Bill 134 that stops economic development and our dreams of a road of ever getting out of here. As you all know, we have a need for future economic development for our children as they're getting older, they're moving away. People are moving out of our villages. One village that I know of is down to like 46 people, you know, and threats of schools closing because of no jobs. And with House Bill 134, we'll never have development. Our fish prices are down. There's no jobs. And you all know permits are mostly held by people outside of the state of Alaska. Subsistence, so hear a lot on this issue of subsistence. You know, like, what is subsistence? Subsistence these days is just fish and berries and fish and game up here. They'll tell us how many fish we could get, how many kings and how many cohos. If people really lived a subsistence lifestyle, they would be in their barabras, they would not have no welfare checks, they would be packing water and chopping wood and using their bone needles. We don't have subsistence today. We didn't even get a caribou hunt here this year because they say the caribou numbers are down. Our children don't live in the subsistence lifestyle that we grew up in. Their culture today is electronics. And if we took our young people and set them out in the tundra and told them to live, how many of them is going to make it? All they know is electronics. Pebble hasn't even gotten their permits yet. And I think people are fearing the unknown. Let them have their chance, getting there, you know, looking at permits. There's ways they have today that's not going to endanger our environment the way people are scaring us. Our children and grandchildren, they need jobs. It's an opportunity for them to have a better life. They can go to school to be mining engineers, petroleum engineers. We have a big future with Pebble. People got jobs, they're living better, and people that want to go to work for them, I'm sure all they have to do is put in an application. And I think, you know, they want to name something after Governor Hammond. They should name the permanent fund after him. After all, he created it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara. Let's go to Sally Gumlikbuck.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, we sure can. Would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you represent for the record and go ahead with your testimony, Sally?
My name is Sally Gumlikbuck. I had sent in a short testimony, but I wanted to add on to that testimony. I'm speaking as a lifetime Alaskan Native and resident of, and I'm speaking for my family and as a president of Striahawk Limited. I would like to say good morning to you guys and thanks for listening to me. We have lived a subsistence life for as long as I can remember. My kids are happy too.